It has been a while since we visited with the mayor of Marysville. We visited with the chairman of the United Way campaign last week, but now he's here with his Marysville hat. Dan Damon, good morning.
Got a few different hats, Paul. Good morning.
Indeed.
Winter cap this morning.
Yeah, a little chilly out there, even in Marysville this morning.
Yeah, we did get snow in Marysville, remarkably enough. I had penciled it in just to kind of skip over us, but nope, it was there this morning when I woke up.
Not a whole lot you can do about that. You were talking off the air, though, about this mild winter and the impact that it's had on your ability to get things going on the new City Hall.
So it's humming. You know, we had a slight delay. We had some steel issues. Those have been corrected, so we want to thank Campbell Shaw Steel for that, and they're doing a great job over there. But yeah, it's on track. You know, every time we drive by there, you know, my head is always turning in that direction to see what's happening. And, it's really starting to take form. It's really starting to take shape. And it's starting to look like those beautiful pictures that Bill Vogan had designed and the artist's rendering. And we can really see the handwriting on the wall. This thing should be done by October.
That's fantastic. What else going on in Marysville?
So, beginning of the year. And so the beginning of the year, we're trying to put our hats on regarding budget sessions.
Yep.
We're trying to put our hats on regarding, what is it that we are going to hope to accomplish this year? And, this year we've got a lot of drive to finish up a lot of things that we have discussed in the past few years. One of the things we did, Paul, in maybe November, I had talked to Randy. I said I'd really like a budget session to focus on. I'm sorry, not a goal setting session to focus on economic drivers. And part of the inspiration for this is you look at different communities and what different communities do to attract people in. And Marysville has, Summerfest, of course, and we have Hot Wheels weekend, the third weekend in August, and we have Christmas in the Park. And these are some things that we've done. On top of that, when we redid the Little League fields, part of the goal that was really a great marriage between Marysville Little League and the city of Marysville in order to get that project done.
Mm-hmm.
But it really serves two purposes. It serves our local Little League. And really puts our fields on display at a state level where we can now host state tournaments. So that in and of itself was an economic driver. But when you take a look at, the things that we've done to try to bring people in, and then you kind of take a look at the Blue Water area and you look at the Classic Boat Show and you look at the hotels that are coming up, the St. Clair Inn being revitalized and City Flats Hotel, that this is going to be a destination. So the more people we can get in the Blue Water area, the better it's going to be for all of us. And I had the same discussion yesterday. I spoke at Port Huron Rotary. And discuss the same thing, economic drivers. It's about getting people to appreciate what's in the Blue Water area and, for us specifically, what's in Marysville.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of discussions that are happening right now about different types of events that might happen. I don't necessarily want to let the cat out of the bag. Randy never stops thinking. Yeah, even in his sleep, I understand
I'm sure
he keeps a little notepad by his
bed. Upright with ideas, yeah.
Yeah, poor guy. And but, he's brought some things to the table, and our council members have brought some other things to the table, and our rec director has brought some things to the table, and they're all good ideas. So I think one of the things we're going to focus on at the beginning of this year is kind of ferreting out what we can put Marysville even on the map again for, and how we can continue to drive people into the area. Because, Paul, you and I have had this conversation before. If you are not from the Blue Water area and you come over here to go to Freighters, or you come over here to go to Casey's, and you really just kind of take a walk around, I mean, there is really something to be said. It's an exciting place to be right now. And, with that, if we can draw people in, whether it's for baseball tournaments or whether it's for, classic auto shows or cruises, or whether we can draw people in to go to, one of these rejuvenated hotels that are kind of boutique in nature and really offer an experience, that word will travel fast too. And you don't have to draw people in, from Nevada or California. You can draw people in from Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, and the state of Michigan itself to experience what we have. So that's really part and parcel what we're trying to do by way of economic driver is get into the mindset that, if you bring people here and you share what we have to experience as a region, then we will all be better for it.
And it happens. I mean, people come visit here and they go tell their friends. They come back year after year, and that's how you grow the area, isn't it?
Well, and your radio station, you know, has been really kind of an integral part of that too, in promoting the Blue Water area as a whole. And we've seen, you know, the dividends that have been paid by that. It is, you hear many times, you know, the city that is most often seen on a road sign is Port Huron. You know, in Marysville, we buy into the fact that Port Huron is kind of the draw, but we are part of the Blue Water area, and we say, you know what, this is what we're going to do to help the Blue Water area and Marysville itself grow.
There you go. Maybe you could host a PGA tournament at the golf course. What do you think
about
that?
Boy, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be cool?
We might have to lengthen. I mean, it'd probably be like a par three tournament for those guys, though, right? Holy cow. Nobody's thinking golf right now.
No,
well,
I know
the diehards are thinking golf right now.
For sure.
So it brings up a great point. The if you get in and you buy your membership before March, there's a significant discount at the Marysville Golf Course. And, you know, I was speaking to Rotary yesterday. I was, you know, I opened it up for questions at the end. And the first question was, what's going to happen, you know, with Marysville Golf Course? And I said, you know, you've got a council and a city administration that's 110% behind it. And it kind of forced me to think back over the last 5 years and what we've done. And we have done, and really, you know, so we've got the Crossfire Grill there. We entered into a partnership with the Maters. And we've got the Crossfire Grill. And if you haven't had food from the Crossfire Grill, their barbecue is absolutely outstanding. In fact, I even got a turkey from them on Thanksgiving this year.
Nice.
We got a liquor license. SMR donated a huge corporate tent that we can now, you know, put tables and chairs under outside to host events. We've secured brand new, well, not brand new, but new to us, electric carts. Rather than the old carts that we had. And so we turn these things over every 3 or 4 years, all new, maintenance equipment. You know, a staff that is dedicated and well-versed in maintaining a golf course. And then we've got volunteers out there like city council member, Paul Wessel, who goes out there in his free time and just helps maintain the course, or, you know, he may, change around some of the sand traps or something like that. So there's something constantly going on out there. So this golf course today, as compared to what it was 5 years ago, it's night and day.
No, I remember
it's
5 years ago there was talk about just getting rid of it.
Yeah.
It was in disrepair.
So. Yeah, it was kind of an albatross.
Yeah.
Albatrosses get a bad rap. I don't know why, but it was kind of an albatross.
the poor albatross. My goodness. By the way, you mentioned off the air as well that there was a grant that you guys got for a new traffic light.
So, you know, Randy doesn't let the grass grow under his feet very much, and he wanted to let us know that he's already paid for himself this year by securing a grant. I think it was the first week of January here. So you heard about the now infamous road diet on Huron Boulevard. Mm-hmm. We took 4 lanes down to 3 with that dedicated turn lane. It was a great project. And when we opened that road back up, one of the hiccups we had was the traffic light, that is on Michigan at Huron, which is, one of the busier corners we have in Marysville. It's right by the high school there. That kept going out. So every time that light would go out, somebody over from Grand Rapids would have to come over in their bucket truck and fix it. And it was a big ordeal. And it was a big safety issue. And it was a big traffic issue. And it, of course, had our chief of public safety, Tom Koenig, pulling his hair out. And so Randy was able to secure a grant of $120,000 that's going to go toward fixing. Now that's the total cost is probably going to be about $180,000, $175,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. So Randy's able to secure a grant of $120,000, and prior to that, that whole $175,000 or that whole $180,000 would have come out of the Marysville City coffers. We would have had to budget for that this year. So, he made it a point to let us all know at the last city council meeting that
good work.
He was not resting over the holidays, and that he went out and he secured that. So, but that's just, you know, one of the things that we have going on is we've got some of the hardest working administration out there.
Isn't it funny? I mean, traffic lights are something that we all take for granted, and rarely do you stop and think about what it costs to put one of those up there. You just mentioned, you know, 6-figure sum for a traffic light. That's That's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money. Or how big they are. Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah, they don't look that big from your car.
No, but when you're sitting under that thing and you really take a good look up at it, you're very thankful that it's secured by some pretty heavy cables because that is a big... But it's a big undertaking, you know? And, you know, it's funny, Paul, before you get into, you know, before I got into, you know, helping the city out, whether it was on council or you know, being mayor, there's just so many things you take for granted. You take for granted that when you put your trash out on Tuesday night, that when you come home from work on Wednesday, that it's going to be empty and that the trash fairies came and picked it up. And, you know, but you don't put, I never put that much thought into, you know, the how. I mean, I knew the trash collector came and picked it up, but, you know, the contracts and the surcharges for gasoline and the tipping charges. I mean, there's so much to every component in running a city. And traffic lights, they're no different. You know, another great example of that is the maintenance on railroad crossings. You know, I mean, that is something that I got quite an education in because we have quite a few railroad crossings in Marysville. And, you know, the railroads, they are an entity all unto themselves.
For sure.
They have a whole lot of power and they have a whole lot of say in what happens at their crossings and their roads. And that was something, again, you know, you come to a railroad crossing, you see the lights, the arms come down, the arms go back up, you go back through, and you don't think much about it other than I'm thankful that that thing is working.
Right.
And, you know, if it's not for some reason or another, you know, somebody's got to get on that. And the discussion that happens for maintenance on those types of things, those are things that people, you know, that unless you're dealing with it, you just generally don't think, unless you have some reason to, unless you work for the railroads or something, you know. But you're right. You know, thinking about $180,000 to fix one traffic light, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, but absolutely necessary, indeed.
Which kind of just leads you to the conclusion of, you know, how much the city administration has on its plate on any given day.
Sure.
Right? We have strived in Marysville to make sure that our level of services have never dropped, regardless of the fact that, you know, revenues have kind of decreased and, you know, we had a lull in property taxes and those types of things. But, you know, wrapping your mind around $175,000 traffic light while trying to make sure the potholes are filled and our police force is fully staffed and we've got new cruisers and our backhoe isn't falling apart.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts.
That's a lot going on. And, you know, there's been so much talk about the federal government shutdown and that's a whole other topic for a whole other show. But, you know, government services are essential, you know, whether it's the city of Marysville, the state of Michigan, St. Clair County, or the federal government. And when those things begin to fall off, it creates a whole backload of problems.
And I'm very proud to say that in my 5.5, now almost 6 full years as mayor, I have never shut the city of Marysville down.
But you've got that in your back pocket. If you don't get what you want,
I see how well it's gone over. So.
Apparently that's an option now. So, Mayor, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Paul.
Dan Damon with us from Marysville on WPHM at 825 now.